The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Everybody, this is Alan Ellis, and this is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and crabbing and whatever else happens to come up in along the broad subject of the outdoors. And joining me this morning is my lovely and beautiful co-host. Her name is
me,
Robin, Miss Robin. And we found out that when we attended the Maryland Sportsman Show last weekend, that she has her own fan base, and I think she ought to establish her own Facebook page, social media, website.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I had a couple of people say congrats.
Well, that's good. I think it should be called Robin Talks.
I don't talk enough, isn't that what you tell me?
And Talks. What?
You tell me I don't talk enough.
On the air. Maybe on a website or a podcast you might do differently.
Maybe.
So, crab season opened on April 1st. Nobody went out. Water's too cold. Crabbers in Virginia, where the season opened about 2 weeks ago, are experiencing catches of very small female crabs. Little ones, you know, barely legal. And they're selling them. People are buying them. So the crab industry is very interesting. I got a rundown yesterday from a young man who's a captain. Runs 250 pots. Was explaining how the cost of wire, vinyl-coated wire for crab pots, has increased exponentially. You know, there's three different types of wire that go into a crab pot. There's the main body of the pot, then there's the wire that makes the feeding tube, and then there's another wire that makes the doors, and then there's a zinc to keep it from rusting, and there's rebar on the bottom that goes all the way around the bottom to keep it from, you know, upsetting, turning on its side, or, you know, keeps it underwater. So, all in all, there's about $50 worth of material in one crab pot. And not only that, the supply chain crisis that we're in this country has also not helped that situation. We talked to Clyde's Sports Shop, our sponsor, about his ad in the upcoming Maryland Loves Crabs. And he said that one of his crab pot supplier or crab trap suppliers had difficulty in getting the vinyl coated wire for the crab traps that Clyde sells. Finally arrived. Finally got it. So that's just one element of the whole crabbing industry. There's, you know, the price of fuel, diesel fuel for these crabbing boats, the bait. You know, the razor clams is about $80 or $90 a bushel, probably closer to 90 than 80 that they use for bait. You know, it's like everything else. Everything else has just exploded in price. So that's only one reason why crabs are expensive. There are no Maryland crabs on the market right now that we know of. If you are buying crabs now, you are buying crabs from out of state. either Louisiana, which has had a series of storms and cold water, Texas, same kind of thing in the Gulf there, Virginia, which I talked about earlier, and, you know, that's where the crabs come from this time of year. A box of crabs, Louisiana sells their crabs in square boxes, which is equal to about a bushel and a quarter. They are running about $400 a bushel or box, plus the freight surplus or surcharge of about $22 a box, per box, every box. So there's another, that's for number ones, of course. So lesser crabs are a little less expensive, but not any less than about $300 a bushel. So these folks are trying to make some money by parsing them out into you know, dozens to sell to you. And you go to a crab shop and you go, why are mediums $58 a dozen? Well, here's part of the reason I just told you. So what do you think, Robin? You ready for a dozen big old number one Jimmies?
Right this minute, yeah. I'll eat them right now.
I knew you would. I would like to have crabs. It's just that they're almost out of reach as far as reasonable crab prices. So we'll wait till the water warms up a little bit. We'll wait till the supply gets a little bit better and, you know, see what happens. How you doing, Robin? What do you want to talk about?
Doing good. You got my thing on the deadly worms or whatever I sent you.
Yeah, those hammerhead worms.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting that that comes up these days. There's a lot of things coming up from down south that seem to be expanding their range. These hammerhead worms are something else that they look like they could be pretty intense. That live in the soil, I guess. Is that?
I don't remember. I sent it to you, and now I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'll look it up again.
They're very toxic. Well, Chris sent me some stuff, too. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before.
I sent it to you. I sent it to all three of us, right?
Okay.
Didn't I?
I believe maybe. So here's one that Chris sent, about a 500-pound black bear that took up residence near Tusculum University in Greenville, Tennessee. Look at the size of that beast, Robin.
Well, he sent us one that was seen by my mom's house on John Brown Road this week.
Yeah, on April 1st.
On April 1st,
yeah.
Yeah,
a cross between the grizzly bear and the elk.
Oh, it was an elk. It wasn't a whitetail.
No, it was an elk. It was either a belk or a beer. I'm not sure which. But, yeah, it was seen in Centerville, according to some of the people on Facebook. So, you know, it had to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I can't find what I sent you all.
Oh, you will. So, the massive 500-pound black bear, which became habituated to human and unnatural foods, where we've seen that happen down in Tennessee, lived near the school and recently became a nuisance and potentially dangerous. The bear had regular access to garbage, bird seed, and pet food, and had been in the area for a few years, but ramped up its activity and property damage last year. So this led to a decision to relocate the bear away from the rural campus, which is located about 25 miles from Johnson City. Bear was tranquilized. They spotted it in a small vacant woodlot near the school. The animal was so large, officials enlisted the help of the Greenville Fire Department to move it to a transport cage to take it to a remote part of Cherokee National Forest, 650,000 acres. And, of course, the warning is the standard one at the end. Humans should never feed or approach bears. They should not store food, garbage, or other recyclables or bird feeds, or feed birds or other wildlife in areas accessible to bears, which is all of Garrett County, which is what they do anyway. So, 500-pound bear. Interesting. If you find that one about the hammer worms, that would be great.
I'm working on it.
Yep. So, we got an interesting attachment to a I'm not sure if it was a message or it was email or what or text or whatever it was from our buddy in West Virginia, Pastor Russ. Yeah. Utilizing the not the antler end of the deer, the other end of the deer to make taxidermy.
Ass squatches.
Ass squatches. Yes, exactly right. They are. There's a lot of hair back there, so they use the tail for the beard, and form the whole butt of the deer into a face, which is creepy. I've seen them. You know, it's like the deer doorbell, that type of thing, only it's with a face. And if you want to Google deer doorbell, you'll be unpleasantly surprised. John B. says, hey, morning, John B. How are you?
I just sexted
him. Yeah, we had a good week. We did measure buck, spear, stags. We had Bob Newton there on Saturday and Chuck Wilcox on Sunday. Those are two of our official measures. And then we had Chuck Wilcox and Steve Keithley there on Sunday, another OM official measure for buck, spear, stag. Measured, I believe, something like 27 animals, and 17 animals were large enough to qualify for the record book. There were several Sika deer, and the most were whitetails, of course, the most common big game animal. One black bear came in that was undersized and did not qualify for the record book. But, you know, we're glad to see some people bringing multiple animals. You know, some people brought two. Some people brought... Did anybody bring three? I know a couple of people brought two. But there are...
Yeah, I think that one guy from...
Glen Burnie?
The guy with the companies. He worked for the... I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. He brought two of his and one of his
The
dad.
One that was standing up. He brought three.
Yeah, that was two of his and one of his father's, yeah.
Yeah, so. we had a full body deer mount there.
Yeah, full body deer mount to measure. A little difficult to do.
It worked.
Because it wasn't on a pedestal. It was just the bolts that come out of the feet to that it was standing on. It was leaning up against our display board, which was fine.
But our amazing professional measures got it done.
I've seen them do some amazing things.
I really have.
I know. I've seen Bob Newton measure them on the back on a tailgate. I've seen him measure them
in a restaurant parking lot.
Two of those, you know, one in Centerville and one in Kent Narrows. Two of those were measured in the parking lot. So yeah, we do go the extra length to try and enter your animal into the record book, and we're getting texts and messages all the time about, you know, wanting their deer measured, and you know, it's great if you have a deer. We got one the other day. I'm going to have to try and find it and find out if somebody knows this name or has ever heard of this person. I'll see if I can come up with that name here soon. But it was very interesting that the deer was, according to the person who inherited it. Let's see. Killed. It was a Sika deer killed in St. Mary's County. And the name, it was 50 years ago or so, by a fellow by the name of Colonel Cooper Carter. If anybody recognizes that name, Colonel Cooper Carter, please let us know. We're trying to figure out where this deer was taken. It's a massive Sika deer. And if it was taken in St. Mary's County, it would be probably one of these pen-raised animals. But we talked to the only person I know that raised Sika deer in St. Mary's County, and he says it wasn't his, nor has he ever heard of Colonel Cooper Carter. But there's the deer. So we're working on tracking that one now. We're still trying to track down the one that was found in a bean field in Prince George's County, the Saunders buck, which is a giant whitetail that left the state in the early 90s. So, you know, there's some mystery out there. There's some there's some intrigue out there in this hunting world. And, you know, we know where there's another massive, giant whitetail buck that was killed decades and decades ago. It's on the wall of an attorney's home somewhere. Trying to get him to drag it out and be measured is a near impossibility. But we're working on it. And then we find one every now and then that's just been hiding somewhere, you know, and it turns out to be a record class animal. So
I can't find that article I sent you.
Yeah.
I sent you a couple other ones that wasn't a little, it was a little different. But the neatest thing about this worm that has these neurotoxins and stuff is if you cut it up, the pieces you cut up don't die.
Oh.
They reproduce.
That's okay.
Into other, so like if you cut up a worm five times, you're going to get five worms. You have to salt them to kill them.
It regenerates. Yeah. Didn't you tell me your grandfather salted? What did he salt?
He used to salt slugs.
Slugs, yeah.
He would go out there every night on his walkway down suburbs of D.C., and he would be out there with one of those Morton salt canisters.
Yeah, the round ones with the flip-up thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he'd be out there every night salting them. And then he'd leave beer and on the porch for them to climb into and drown too.
He didn't like them.
Mm-mm. Because they left. They had so many slugs up there. You could go out there at nighttime, and it was like slime city going down there. You could follow the trails down their walkway. He hated them. I mean, he made it his purpose to go out there and assault these worms at night.
Well, now you know what that'll do. That'll inspire some artists to go out and encourage snails to crawl around, and then they'll photograph it with a special filter and sell the pictures for.
Why are you telling people that? We can do it.
Well,
you just gave away another
brilliant
idea.
I'll tell you what. Take your phone outside right now on the porch.
We don't have as many slugs as he had.
Oh.
No, I'm talking, he would find like 15, 20 slugs all going. But he worked night shifts, so he'd come home at midnight.
Yeah.
He went in at 2. He went in at 3 and whatever.
Yeah.
When he got home, he would go outside and salt them before he'd go to bed.
3 to 11.
Uh-huh. That's it. No. He was, that's not it. Maybe he went in at 11 and came home at 7. It was something like that. It was weird. It was an overnight shift. It wasn't 3 to 11. So I said it wrong. He would come home. We'd watch General Hospital. He'd go to bed. He'd go to bed before General Hospital and then for a nap after, and then he goes to work at night. That was our afternoons with my grandfather in the summer.
And then at night you'd go out and salt slugs. Slug murderer.
No, he would salt them when he got home, and they were still out.
Oh. Hey, if you'd like to talk about salting slugs, hammerhead worms, 500-pound bears being relocated.
Or wearing deer elk antlers.
Or the butt end of a deer being
Asquatch.
Turned into a Sasquatch or some mountain man looking thing.
Asquatch. I like
okay.
that name.
Asquatch. Fine with me. Call Chris and tell him.
Is Chris still there?
I don't know. He's
quiet.
Probably asleep.
No, I'm very much awake. And in fact, I was thinking about it. And, you know, you're mentioning slugs. I'm thinking, wouldn't they make pretty good bait for catfish?
You put them on the hook, buddy.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm good.
No, I mean, I know they're slimy and so forth.
I think that they may be repulsive to some animals because what eats them? Nothing really preys on them, does it?
There's a reason. There's something in that slime.
Something that they have no natural predators.
Good point.
Yeah.
There's something in the slime, I think. I got to look it up.
Okay.
Again, what is the one? Was it bloodworms that bit you? One of them bit you.
Bloodworm, yeah.
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 I've been bitten
by all kinds of things. I've been bitten by or pinched by blue crabs, of course, helgramites, crawfish, bloodworms. The bloodworm was particularly painful because it put all four hooks right in the webbing.
Yes, I remember that.
Between my thumb and my forefinger.
I don't remember you getting bit, but I remember them biting me when I was a kid. I love bloodworms. I love going on my dad's thing and cutting up bloodworms and fishing. Nightcrawlers didn't work the same as bloodworms.
I always liked nightcrawlers better, especially for perch.
Bloodworms.
Because I don't like bloodworms that much. I'm not a, you know, ever since I bit, it was traumatic, you know. So.
Did I ever tell you about the crab bite my sister got?
No.
My mom and her best friend, the guys went golfing.
Uh-huh.
And mom and her best friend, we were having crabs. We were always together.
Right.
And they all went to high school. Anyway, Mom and Diana had to go pick up the bushel of crabs for the night. And we always steamed them.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So as kids, of course, we knocked one on the front porch, you know, let it run around.
Right.
Well, it got my sister. She was like 6 years old, maybe. Each claw got one thumb. It was like those Chinese water torture or Chinese things you used to play with as a kid.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get, Mom and Diana couldn't get it off. So my sister's running around the neighborhood.
A crab on both thumbs.
Both thumbs. Same crab.
Yeah. I bet she was crying.
Chinese handcuffs. That's it.
Yeah. I bet she was crying.
Oh, she was crying. And finally, Mr. Dote came over and took it off with a pair of pliers.
Bet the crab didn't like the way he'd come off.
No, he didn't, because he wasn't still. That crab didn't get boiled. He got thrown away. Steamed, not boiled.
Alived? Was the crab alive when you discarded
I don't know.
Him?
They'd already taken his claws off, so.
Yeah, but he could. That mean crab could still reproduce. Those genetics are still out there in the bay. Hey, Clyde Sport Shop is ready for crabbing. They've got everything you need for crabbing. They've got the crab traps, the topless crab traps. They've got the trot lines. They've got the nets and even the steamers and the seasoning. They've got the bushel baskets if you need some of those. So, and the bait for crabs as well. Clyde Sport Shop also is ready to go fishing. Anything and everything you need. Rods and reels. They've got the pen spinning reels. They've got the trolling combos. I was in there the other day. The Fluger reels. The kids fishing combos. Then a great selection of St. Croix rods. And I keep mentioning St. Croix rods because if you want to upgrade, you know, if you're at that age when you can afford to upgrade your equipment, use a little better stuff, take a look at the St. Croix rods at Clyde Sport Shop. Live and frozen bait and minnow, fish and license rod repairs, and all tackle for all species at Clyde Sport Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway. Exit number 9, that's 242-6108. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sport Shop. Hey, spring's here, officially. You know, it's time to take a look at that yard as the grass starts to grow and the leaves start to pop out and the pollen starts to blow around and, you know, get in your eyes like poor Robin over here who's been suffering for a couple of weeks. Go out there in your yard and see where you're going to put the new, where you're going to put the new furniture. And where you're going to put what you're going to put on your deck, too. We recommend you stop at Backyard Billy's on Ken Island. That's your go-to place for making backyards fun. A giant selection of colorful, weatherproof, poly, outdoor, and patio furniture. This is cool-looking stuff. Lots of tables and chairs. Adirondack chairs, too, if you just want to sit around and loaf. You can do that, too. You can see all that from Route 50 at Exit 44 on Ken Island. You'll find swing sets. I'm sorry, gym sets, and storage sheds in Backyard Billy's backyard with free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. Now, inside Backyard Billy's showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills, pellet grills by Traeger, ceramic smoker grills by Kamado Joe and Big Green Egg. You'll see all that at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, you know, another part of Backyard Billy's. And there's a huge assortment of outdoor fire pits and fire rings and every kind of thing for your backyard. You know, if you want to set a little fire in your backyard, make sure it's in a ring and heat up that cool spring evening. Keep in mind, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region. Visit BackyardBillys.com. Call 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500. They're open 7 days a week. Today would be a good day. Route 50 at Exit 44B Evans Avenue, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, a weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any other kind of tools, your Linex bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Cadenceville Line X is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Line-X can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called ValueGuard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Line-X install your Line-X spray-on, truck bed liner, and truck gear today. Line-X.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look pink. Saturday, you bet your granny. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a working on the chain gang. A mean, vicious, straight razor toting woman. Lord have mercy. Every day before supper time, she'd go down by the truck patch and pick her a mess of pork salad and carry it home in a cold sack. Pork salad, Annie. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was working on the chain gang. No. You suck a little pork salad.
A little pork salad, eh?
Oh, we need to dig up the original of that, Chris.
The Tony Joe White?
Yep.
All right.
Yep, when we get a chance. Sometime, eventually. You know, another song I'd like to hear is Bing Crosby, Pistol Packin' Mama.
Okay.
I think that's a fun song, too.
I've never heard that one.
You never heard that one? Oh, my goodness.
No, I never heard that one.
We got Glenn on the line. Good morning, Glenn. How are you this morning, buddy?
Hey, Alan and Robin. How are you doing?
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Okay, I guess. I'm here.
You're here.
That's all we all are this week, trust me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I've been running all over the state. Of course, we did that show and
you were talking about meeting people there and stuff, and I was really impressed. A lot of people came up and said really nice stuff, and it was really cool. Mm-hmm. The people out there, our listeners, make me feel really, really good.
We have a lot of listeners. We really do.
And you were one of those, Glenn.
Indeed.
Yep. I've met Glenn at the one
National Outdoor Show, the first one we did, 2018. Yep, sure did.
Yep.
So that is true. But we had a pretty good time. Robin had a great time. Robin had her little mobility scooter in there, and not necessarily a good time because I screwed up and didn't load any chairs to take to the event. None were provided. So the first day, Robin's chair was her mobility scooter. But then she abandoned the booth and left us all standing there and went shopping.
I went back to the hotel. I was so sore.
Yeah, you did go back to the hotel. And then the next day, we actually stopped and got some chairs, some padded chairs. That made it a little easier, but the mobility scooter came into play again when she disappeared for, I don't know, it must have been 3 or 4 hours and left us all holding the bag again. What, honey? You say
Glenn,
you love me? I know.
Yeah.
I got it.
So did you have a good week, Glenn?
I guess just that's usually par for the course.
Par for the course. There you go.
Did you get out at all?
No, I didn't get out. No hunting or anything.
No, but you had... You got a house to do a little stuff with the family, I'm guessing.
So.
Yeah.
Are you in Chestertown?
Are you right in Chestertown, Glenn?
No, not right in, no.
I got it.
We did a midnight run to Chestertown for my mom the other day.
And that we did. We did do a midnight run to Chestertown. Little medical thing. And it was a very interesting trip.
I felt like I was back on call again.
At the hospital?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, back to the hospital.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the beginning. What night was that? Was that Thursday night?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. That was the beginning of the disruptive sleep patterns around here. So it's been catch up all week. It hasn't happened yet. Whew, excuse me. So
he yawns much more, and you all are going to hear me snoring.
Uh-huh, that's for sure. So you don't hear the puppy today. The puppy has been relocated to our bedroom during the show now, so that it's not so stressful back here.
On who?
You. So. Well, Glenn, look, I hope you have a chance to get out and about this week and
I've got a place to go. Go with my daughter. Sometimes
we'll
see how to go. You know, or sometimes I got to stop somewhere. But
yeah.
Whatever, but that's about it.
Yep, I got it. So. All right, bud. We'll try to have a good week.
I spent 2 days in Walmart riding around doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so good to get out.
What's that?
It was good. To a sale today.
Going to a sale?
Yeah. Oh, really? Where?
Up Galena.
Up Galena, yep. Well, enjoy your sale.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Okay, buddy. Well, we'll talk to you next time.
Take care. God bless.
You too, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Hey, Mr. Dale in Easton. How you doing, Uncle Dale?
Good morning, lovely lady and scruffy gentleman. How are you all?
Oh, thank you so much.
Doing
well.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you.
Doing well.
I got a question. I was reading the handbook when I bought my license, and there's a thing in there about crayfish.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize this, that you have to remove the head up to the eyes.
Yeah.
On a crayfish. I guess that's because of the rusty crayfish.
The rusty crayfish is an invasive crayfish. That's correct. They don't want them spread.
Yeah.
So if you use them for bait, you got to, yeah.
Oh, yep. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I was confused because most people leave the head on.
Well, many people leave the head on.
They
want to keep them alive.
Yeah. I would think that would be somewhat detrimental to the action and all. When you have a live crayfish on there, he's crawling around. And,
yep. Exactly right. Exactly right. So, but the rusty invasive crayfish has been around for a while. There's so many types of crayfish out there. I didn't realize there were so many different types of crayfish, but that is an invasive one that's very prolific. And, it's to me, Dale, it's kind of like, kill the snakehead immediately to prevent them from spreading. Oh, that ship sailed.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it used to be fun, Dale, when my ex-husband worked at Lowe's.
Robin.
Hmm? What?
Get your mic a little closer.
Hold on a second. When my ex-husband worked at Lowe's.
Much better.
Sorry about that. I put it up during the
I know.
Thing. Those little rain ponds they have, you know what I'm talking about, right outside of Lowe's?
Mm-hmm.
When they would flood after a rain, after this started to subside, there were crayfish all over the parking lot.
Really?
Yes. They'd be out there flopping around.
You mean after the creek
after
would flood?
After the start to go down.
Yeah. Interesting.
Huh.
Interesting. I spent my misspent youth catching crayfish all the time. We had a stream flowing through the property where we lived. It was a nursing home up in Pennsylvania. Had about 300 acres altogether, and I would spend all my summers in that creek catching minnows and water snakes and crayfish and all that kind of stuff, and used a lot of crayfish on smallmouth bass.
Well, which is the better smallmouth bait, crayfish or halibuts?
Well, here's the thing: we were on vacation. In western Virginia, and I can't remember the name of the river down, Cheat River, I believe. And I fish for smallmouth every day, wet weighted lures, every possible thing, and catch nothing but smallmouth. I mean, nothing but little smallmouth, 10, 12 inch stuff. I mean, they would hit, a torpedo or you know, crankbait or whatever I was throwing. But there was never any size to them. You know, 12-incher would be a big one. So some of the kids were around, and I said, guys, you know, turn over some rocks and see if you can find anything under the rocks. Well, we found some helgramites.
What are helgramites?
Helgramites are the larva of a, is it a Dobson fly?
A Dobson fly.
Yeah.
I don't know what a Dobson fly is.
Okay. Well, look up helgramite.
Okay.
They're black larva, basically, that has big pinchers on the front end and hooks on the back end, so they get you both directions. But they make dynamite bait because if they, you know, they flow down in the current, they're loved by smallmouth. And we used a lot of helgramites when I was a kid, too. I mean, we'd catch them or we'd buy them. There was a local bait shop that had them. But one of the boys turned over a rock and found a big soft-shelled crayfish. And I put that thing on, and man, all of a sudden the line took off, and it was a 18-inch smallmouth.
That's good.
Which
that's
is a nice smallmouth for the river, you know.
Good river smallmouth.
Yep. So to answer your question, I have no scientific evidence either way, whether it's helgramite or crayfish, but in one instance, in one day, the crayfish outperformed the helgramite.
There you go. Interesting. I'm hoping that the next edition of the record book, Alan, you'll have an update on the Saunders buck. That's one of my very, very curious inquiries.
Lengthy conversation about that buck with the Wonders of Wildlife Museum in Springfield, Missouri, adjacent to the big box store out there owned by Johnny Morris. The Wonders of Wildlife has a huge collection of giant whitetails. The fellow most familiar with that, we talked prior to the pandemic about it, and he thought he knew who might have that animal. It's not in the collection. But upon further conversation 2 years later, just this past week, could not find it, could not locate it at this point.
It sounds like it sounds like Hercule Ellis is on the case, though.
Ben.
Well, hopefully you'll have something to put in the next edition.
Even if it's a picture, nope, no luck.
Again, every time I look at the book, Al, it's the first thing I go to. It's just so intriguing.
Yep.
Not just the size of the thing, but the events leading up to it and after it.
Exactly.
Marvelous. So.
Exactly. Oh, well, I mean, just that little paragraph only tells a piece of the story
because we couldn't
name names and point fingers at this point. But I know the names, and I know where to point the fingers. So
Going to try to slip up there on Tuesday, see what's going on, I'll let you know.
Good. So you imagine that deer, not to change the subject, I know what you're talking about, that deer was measured by a official measure for Boone and Crockett but never entered into Boone and Crockett. Now, you imagine a 220, 230-inch deer being measured and not entered. You've got to wonder why.
It'd be nice if you could somehow track down the, I assume the numbers were recorded on a form.
Yes, but the form never saw the light of day. But, I mean, if you want to go look at the, I think it's December 1991 issue. It's in the caption. You can actually look up that North American whitetail where that animal was measured.
Yeah, interesting. Like I say, it's a... Agatha Christie would be very pleased with that scenario.
What's interesting was one of our official measures looked at the deer, looked at the measurements that were presented in the article and said that deer was measured incorrectly.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Underscored?
I think it was overscored.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, anyway.
It'd still be nice to see some numbers.
Yes, it would.
So.
All right. We'll talk this week.
Y'all have a good week.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yep.
I think you're going to actually be disappointed if you ever find it.
Why?
No, because then the quest will be over. This is such a big deal to you and Bobby and all of them.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I understand that.
I think if the quest goes over, it's going to be like a big letdown.
Really? You think so? Perhaps.
You won't have anything to search for.
Perhaps. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors. Fishing season is here. Crabbing is here. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors, a.k.a. Crab Headquarters in Edgewater. The selection of tackle for freshwater, tidal, and bay fishing is amazing. Rods and reels from the top brands are here. Artificial lures for perch and bass and snakeheads and rockfish line the walls. There's live bait and ice, too. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors, your local crabbing headquarters, stocks crab traps and trot lines, nets, bags, steamers, crab seasoning, and much more. Bay Country Crabbing and Outdoors is located at 3137 Solomon's Island Road, that's Route 2, on the northbound side near Advance Auto Parts. That phone number is 410-956-0300. Next Saturday, April 9th, is the 12th annual open house from 9 to 4 with seminars, Q&A sessions, raffle prizes, and guest speakers of all types from lure companies to charter fishing to you name it. Complimentary barbecue and sodas while supplies last. Check it out. Give them a call, 410-956-0300. Check the website, baycountrycrabbingsupply.com. Attention, watermen, bring your license for your discount. Folks, we'll be right back. Oh, hold on. Chris, hold on.
Okay.
hold that finger on that button. Well,
will do.
Spurry's Tire Service. What's the matter, babe?
I didn't say a word.
You gave me the slant eye, the side eye, like that cross-eyed.
He had lost the commercial.
Like that cross-eyed girlfriend I used to have. Okay. Hey, Spurry's Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50 in Easton. That's where the locals get their tires and auto service work done. Featuring American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, as well as Michelin, Yokohama. Spurry's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any make or any model, any size, any brand. Tire repair, full-service automotive repair, 24-hour truck service, and more has kept Spurry's customers, including me, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires or call Spurry's Tire Service in Easton at 410-822-7384. Visit their website, spurrystire.com. That's 410-822-7384 for Spurry's Tire Service. And we'll be right back.
Well, after a cold night last night, warmer temperatures for the weekend. Not as cold tonight. 58 this afternoon with some sunshine. Clouds do increase tonight. Our low 45 degrees and a sprinkle or two for Sunday. High 60, low 38. Mostly cloudy Monday, 58. And our main front coming in for the midweek forecast for the new business week with rain showers and or thunderstorms Wednesday and Thursday. High temps in the low to mid 60s, lows in the 40s and 50s. I'm Scott Laurie Moore at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Hey, do you have a beautiful fireplace at your house that you never use? We had one, too, right here in the back room, and we're looking at it right now. It's just a hole in the wall that sucked the heat out of the room. You know, that's why we went to Hearth America at Backyard Billy's on Kent Island to see if they could help us with that, and they certainly did with a gas fireplace insert. Beautiful, beautiful. Robin and I selected an Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert, and Hearth America at Backyard Billy's did the installation, and they have provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service since then. We both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. As a matter of fact, Robin lost the control the other day, and it was 100 degrees in here when she showed up in the morning. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands, and here's the thing, the worldwide shortage of computer chips, well, it even affects things like, yep, gas fireplace insert. So the supply is good right now. Why not stop by before that situation with the chips gets worse and select the one you need? You can select a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop the showroom soon. You'll be ready next year when that cold weather, yeah, next year, maybe tomorrow, huh? That cold weather comes roaring by. Visit BackyardBillies.com, the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500, 410-827-4500. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, and any kind of tools. Your Linex Bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called Value Guard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex.
Talk Radio 680 WCPN.
When I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, visit my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees, free as a song. One day, I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him in the church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh, when that squirrel got loose, went totally berserk. What happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, some thought it was hell, but the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, I surrender all, the squirrel ran up hard, knew his coveralls, and hard leaped to his feet, said, something's got a hold on me, yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk, in the first self-righteous church, in a sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping the pews and shouting hallelujah.
There you go.
I don't think there's a song of his that doesn't get me bouncing.
That one does.
All of his, most of his get me bouncing.
I know.
Give me the streak any day.
You remember you were in the car when that fella called about sponsoring the show the other day?
Uh-huh.
He sent me an email last night, so Tom will get back to you today. It was a little bit late last night, so 410.
Awesome.
Huh? Yeah.
Awesome.
410 WCBM 680. We're actually, we might have time for one more call if you call now, but I think what's going to happen is that
you're going to be listening to us for the next 3 seconds to 3 minutes.
Yeah, maybe a couple minutes, but we got a few minutes. So, but I want to thank Chris for coming out to the.
Yes, it was great to see
coming out to the show. Good to see you last weekend, buddy. So.
Yeah, it's been
a
while since
really
we laid eyes on each other.
That's true.
I know. I don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
Except that I don't miss the ride.
We had the option of coming to the studio, and Robin wouldn't get her butt moving time Saturday morning to come to the studio and do the show.
You're the one that slept late. Who are you kidding?
Huh?
I was up.
That was Sunday. Well, I was exhausted.
It wasn't me that couldn't get my butt ready.
Oh, well, I blamed you anyway.
Well, other than the technical issue,
yeah,
it would have been crazy because you would have been driving in the opposite direction of where you needed to go.
That's true.
So,
but,
you know, granted.
Yeah, but the technical glitches would have been worth, you know.
Yeah, well, we had no idea. We had no idea that was going to happen.
Yep, nope.
Well, I couldn't get it up right away. We were actually considering him leaving and go up there and do it with you. And
yep.
We didn't do that either, and we could have saved everybody a bunch of aggravation if we had. But, oh, well.
Yep.
Hindsight's perfect.
It usually is.
You'll have the information for next year.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
Yes, we will. We'll know exactly what to do. Yep. So. Anyway, it was good to see you. And you saw we were very busy, I think, when you were there.
Yes, indeed.
And
it was great.
It was
a really good show. I couldn't believe we had snow. I was so excited.
So, you know, it made me think of Backyard Billy's and being here in front of the fireplace like we are right now.
Which was your reason to say you might need it tomorrow.
Exactly.
There's a lot of rain coming this week.
Is there? Great. Can't wait. Anyway, real progress is being made on Maryland Loves Crabs magazine for 2022. If you folks have, I hear the music.
Uh-huh.
If you have photos or recipes, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Robin, say your ththing.
Get out, stay safe, enjoy your family.